Thank you, Chair.
Good evening, everybody, and may I welcome you all to this meeting. Of the East Hearts Executive, I remind all present that this meeting is being webcast. I'd like to extend a special welcome to members of Thorpe Park Council Cabinet, welcome, and also as well to their officers. I believe we have members of the public present, but at the moment no member of members of the press. This meeting is about an item relating to the shared service between East Hearts and North Hearts for waste and street cleansing selection of options.
Right, good evening everybody, and may I also welcome everyone to this meeting of the North Hearts District Council Cabinet and remind everyone that this meeting is being webcast by East Hearts District Council and audio recorded by North Hearts District Council. And I would also like to extend a special welcome to members of the East Hearts Council's Executive as well as East Hearts officers who are our invited guests.
Thank you. For the benefit of all those in attendance, this is a simultaneous meeting of the East Hearts Executive and the North Hearts Cabinet. The start of the two meetings will be simultaneous before we then separate into two separate rooms for the discussion and voting on the matters in the reports before members. So I would like to please go to our agenda item two, which is apologies. Do I have any apologies? No. Thank you, Martin. We also will go to agenda item three, which are the minutes for previous executive. Can I ask that those are accepted as a true and correct record, executive? Thank you. And are there any declarations of interest? Does any member wish to declare an interest either from the executive or from those councillors who are present here for East Hearts? No? Thank you very much.
Members, could we now look at the North Hearts agenda, please? And apologies for absence. And I believe we have one,
yes,
which is Councillor Gray. Thank you very much, Hilary. Notification of any other business. I have no notification of any other business. There will be nothing extra on the North Hearts agenda this evening. Chairman's announcements, agenda item number three. Members of the public and press may use their devices to film, photograph, or do a signed recording of the meeting. But please raise your hand to let me know you are doing this so that I can inform all others present. Please do not use flash and also disable any beeps or other sound notifications that may emit from your device. Two, a reminder that in line with the code of conduct, any declarations of interest need to be declared immediately prior to the item in question. And three, for the benefit of any members of the public present at the meeting, please would officers announce their name and their designation to the meeting when invited to speak either by myself or an executive member. Item four, public participation. Members, we have two people wishing to speak to us this evening. Councillor Mrs. Fiona Hill and Dr. Carol Stainier. And I do apologise if I have not pronounced her surname correctly. But the first speaker, please. Thank you very much, Councillor Hill. I'll switch my mic off.
Thank you, Chairman. Although you're discussing the whole proposal for shared service for waste and street cleansing, my comments are directly related to recommendation 2.3 on page 9, which is for a weekly food waste collection and a charged garden waste collection service from May 2018. This is assumed at £40 a year on page 16. I have a number of concerns relating to this proposal. When comparing the potential impact with councils which have introduced charging already, has this been carried out in similar authorities? Has there been any impact, for example, on fly tipping? North Harts is a very rural area, and East Harts. If residents choose to find alternative ways to dispose of green waste, this could have a negative impact on recycling rates, which are currently well above average in North Hertfordshire, and it could also increase waste going to landfill. I have concerns with regard to those residents who would like to recycle garden waste but genuinely suffer financial hardship and have no access to recycling centres. Efficiencies have been calculated with various assumptions. Will the same vehicle be used to collect food and garden waste, or will there be separate vehicles, and has this been taken into account in the calculations? Some authorities have taken the decision to reduce garden waste collections in the winter months, and I assume this will have all been investigated. I appreciate that the council needs to balance the finances in a difficult economic climate, and that garden waste collection is not statutory. However, any removal or change in any existing service is viewed as a retrograde step, and residents are understandably concerned. Communication surrounding proposals has not been entirely clear in the consultation, and there has been a great deal of inaccurate information circulating, particularly on social media. This has caused confusion and worry for many residents, which is a concern to me. Please consider the points I've raised very seriously when making your decision this evening. Thank you.
Members, as you know, Councillor Hill, can I ask you just to hold on 10 seconds, please? Thank you. Members, as you know, you are entitled to ask three questions of Councillor Mrs. Hill, but they must be for clarification on anything that she has put before us this evening. Does anybody wish to ask any of the three questions, please? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If we could have our second member, please, who would like to present for 5 minutes. And Dr. Stanley, I do apologise if I have pronounced your surname incorrectly.
You got it right that time, so. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Hello, my name is Carol Stanier. I'm the chair of Voice and Liberal Democrats branch and a member of the North Harts Liberal Democrats group. I'm here to speak to you tonight about the same article I think that Fiona was speaking about just now, the proposed garden waste removal charges. The council consultation was made during the holiday period where many people were away or otherwise distracted from the news and current events. In Royston in August, when the consultation was well underway, we were surprised that people were still saying they'd heard nothing about it, even by the end of the consultation, and even though there had been news stories up to that point. We believe that many more people might have responded to the consultation if it had been taking place at another time or been more widely publicised. Out of the around 5,000 responses the consultation did receive from North Harts and about 2,500, I think, from East Harts, 85% of people opposed the introduction of charges. Only 26%, so they'd be likely to use the service if they had to pay for it. This is a very large percentage of respondents against the proposal, and we believe that ignoring these voices would be undemocratic. Furthermore, the North Harts Liberal Democrats, on whose behalf I'm speaking tonight, ran a petition against the proposed charges, and the outcome was this. About 90% of all the people we spoke to on the door signed the petition straight away, and further signatures were gathered online as a result of these sessions as well. I have sent a petition to all the North Harts Cabinet members, and I have a copy here too for anyone who wishes to see it. We've gathered over 1,000, so 1,081 signatures in total from within North Hertfordshire, and most of these are in addition to the consultation responses. All of these responses show great strength of feeling against the proposal to charge for garden waste removal. We hope that the Cabinet will bear in mind the sheer weight of numbers objecting to this proposal when they make their decision. We're concerned particularly for, and have heard from those who find it difficult to get to the household waste recycling centres, primarily the elderly and disabled, and those who don't drive for other reasons. We believe that the proposed charge discriminates unfairly against those who might need the service most. Assisted collections are mentioned in the equality appendix, I know, but presumably the recipients would still need to pay to have their collection in the first place, and this would not be applicable to non-drivers who are able-bodied in any case. I wonder how many of our councillors here attempted to take a sack full of brambles to the tip in a bus. It doesn't appear that the council have considered exemptions or reductions in charges for these groups of people. Householders had a service that they paid for with their council tax. You're now proposing to remove that service and charge an extra to have it back again, with no mention of a corresponding reduction in council tax. If your phone company or any other service provider you have said they were going to start charging you extra for every text message, even though you'd had that as part of your contract from the very beginning of having a phone, that they weren't going to reduce your contract charges, you'd consider going elsewhere, wouldn't you? The people of North Hertfordshire don't have the luxury of going elsewhere, so please do listen to their feedback and don't implement a charge to collect garden waste.
Thank you. If you could just hold on a couple of seconds, thank you. Members, do any of you have any of the three questions for the speaker, please? Councillor.
Dr. Stanier, just a point of clarification, if I may. You talked about the consultation period and how it was not necessarily the best time. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that every household in North Hertfordshire had a slip put through their door advising them of the consultation. Do you believe that's not the case?
I don't remember seeing one myself. It's possible. I didn't know about it. But if you had a lot of posts when you came back from holiday and you had a bit of paper and amongst other things, would you be bothered to deal with it? I have to say, I don't remember seeing this in the paper myself either, but it's possible that it did come.
No, I'm just concerned if we paid for it, it should have got there.
Any other questions? Any other questions, members? That's it. Thank you very much. Members, that moves me on to agenda item number 5, which is items referred to from other committees. And members, I would like to take this one immediately before item 7 on the agenda. And I would now like to move us forward to the waste presentation, which we are going to have from the members. I think that's over to you.
Yes, thank you. I think our officers are going to give us a presentation at the moment, is that right? Or Councillor Stanley, sorry, you're going to introduce the paper.
Yeah, okay, thank you. The officers are going to run through the presentation so everybody understands what's actually involved in the decision-making process this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of the background to this piece of work, for those members that don't know me, I'm Jess Kennell, I'm the Head of Operations for Peace Arts. So in terms of background, members will be aware that both authorities made a decision in July 2016 to procure a joint waste contract and develop a joint client team as part of some of the efficiencies for both authorities. In terms of procurement, we went out to procurement in May this year and closed the procurement process in early August. Officers have spent the summer evaluating the process, and in terms of those contracts, we had two. Lot one is the main contract, which is the collection of the bins and street cleansing in simple terms, and lot two is of the processing and sale of the recycled materials in terms of dry recycling. Both contracts are 7 years. Where we've got to in terms of the evaluation is that officers have gone through those. We've had three bids that have come in. You can see from the table on the screen. In terms of pricing, the evaluation scores were fairly similar. Some differences in pricing, quality was similar, and some differences in pricing. So overall, contracted bid is the one that we are hoping to award. In terms of lot two, we've had to extend the procurement process for 3 weeks. As a reminder, that is the law in relation to the sale and processing of materials. The request from officers today is that if we could delegate authority to both chief execs and the portfolio holders for waste and recycling, we hope to award this contract in mid-November to allow the mobilisation of lot one. And finally, in terms of options, I'll pass over to my colleague Paul, but there are a number of options which we have gone out to public consultation on, as well as researching procedures from other authorities.
I'm Paul Watson, I'm the head of Leisure and Private Concerns North Arts. I'm now going to take you through some of the options, and just to explain to members, the options we're going to look at this evening are dependent and independent. Dependent options are where both authorities need to agree, otherwise the as-is remains. Or, as far as independent options, that means that each authority can independently consider those options themselves and take them on board or not. So in terms of the dependent options, we ask contractors to bid for three different dependent options. One was to retain the as-is service, which is where we separate the paper, as we do in both authorities at the moment, or to separate glass separately, which would mean that the bin that we currently use for paper would be used for glass. So we're just swapping it, so either glass or paper would go into the co-mingled bin, or a fully co-mingled service where all materials go in and there is no separate collection. So in terms of the dependent options, there was an evaluation process looked at in terms of the elements that are shown on the slide. Cost of collections, the haulage and processing materials, and the income received from materials to see whether or not what the financial benefits of each of the options were considered. In terms of the fully co-mingled service, this is an option that we do not recommend, as the evaluation showed there was no real financial benefits. And these are the reasons on the slide that states. Now, in terms of separating paper or glass, we can see that, looking at the evidence that we've collected to date, is that at the moment we pay in the region of £6.50 per tonne for managing our co-mingled glass, the glass that's contained within our co-mingled material. However, if we sort of separated it, we could collect about £20 per tonne, which is a variable difference of around £26.50. In terms of paper, at the moment, if we put that in the co-mingled bin, we'd only get £5 a tonne less income. And the main reasons between the differences is the way that the material recycling facilities operate and manage. When we get the bids in for lot two, we'll actually state whether or not glass is one of our best options. Because depending on the preferred bidder for lot two, it depends on how they handle that material. Because sometimes taking it through a material recycling facility, glass is not very conducive to belts and other kind of operating machinery can have high maintenance costs. Whereas with paper, historically that's been good value, but paper tonnages have dropped in recent years. So, in terms of the market, where are the market prices going? Over the last decade, there's been lots of fluctuations within the commodity prices. However, the consultants that we've used have said that they don't foresee in the near future any significant changes in costs or income associated with these materials. So the actual processing cost can only be determined once the winning lot 2 bidder is known. And I think that that's what's important. But I think what's key is to determine, because it's a dependent bid, whether or not members of both authorities are reasonable in terms of principle of collecting glass separately and putting paper in the co-mingled bin. So in terms of the feedback that we've received from the 8,016 respondents, of those respondents, the vast majority of residents were willing to separate one material, and it shows 91%. And over two-thirds of those are willing to separate materials, even if there's no additional financial advantage to the authority. So it's quite clear our residents are not opposed to source separating the material. In terms of some of the independent options that we looked at, vehicle purchases was one, and charging for greenway services alongside weekly food collections was another. But there was also a number of other ones that were considered independently for each authority, such as with North Arts, we were considering curbside collection for small electrical items, curbside collection of batteries, and also curbside collection of textile collections. whilst PSTARTS was looking at trade waste recycling, cleansing of public conveniences and cleansing of markets. In terms of vehicle purchases, with the preferred contractor, it's clear that their bid doesn't show any financial advantage in terms of the council's purchasing vehicles, as the bid one is planning to hire vehicles to give them great flexibility and not offering any benefits to us for purchasing vehicles. In terms of chargeable green waste collections alongside with weekly food collection services, this is a discretionary service. The option it was with weekly collection of food, which is a statutory function, and making a charge for garden waste. The option would require upfront capital costs for the caddies, and also in terms of a revenue cost for a collection of any bins for those residents that were not going to buy into the scheme. In terms of feedback from those 8,016 people that responded, there was a vast majority of the residents disagreed, 85%, for charging for green waste, with 26% saying they would be willing to pay for a garden waste service. I think it's important to say that one of our nearest neighbours had a similar response to their survey, of 26% to say they're willing to pay, and their participation rates now are at 74%, which is quite high, in fact quite higher than the national average. So in terms of charges, the question relating to how willing residents were willing to pay for a range of charges, and this table demonstrates and shows the charges that have been shown. We've considered, as officers are looking at the £40 a year, as the national average is around £46 a year for collection. Other considerations or other impacts on charging for green waste is obviously the impact on household waste recycling centres. That we have been in discussions with our colleagues at County Council in terms of the likely impact it would have on those sites, because people would be more likely to take some of their garden waste to the local recycling centres, and also some concerns around fly tipping and the impact on fly tipping. However, looking at those authorities that have introduced it, there's not no clear evidence to show that that's had a significant adverse impact on fly tipping. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Councillor McAndrew is now going to say and pass an introduction to the paper, and then we will pass to Councillor Weeks for the North Hart schemes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In July 2016, East Hants Council agreed to work in partnership with North Hants District Council to procure a joint waste collection and street cleansing contract. The outline business plan demonstrated that savings could be made by managing a contract and client team. The joint waste collection and street cleansing contract for ourselves and North Hants District Council has now been evaluated. I would like to take this opportunity to thank officers within the Waste Service for their ongoing commitment to the service whilst managing the tender and evaluation process for one of our biggest contracts. Now, I would like to get members' attention to a handful of amendments to the award report. If members can look at page 8, the report paragraph. Give you time to sort of get that, page 8. 1.1, please note that this should read minute 157 of the executive on the 19th of July 16. That's minute 157 of the executive on the 19th of July 16. We'll also note that paragraph 4.26, The Overview and Scrutiny Committee recommended the Executive consider the option of a weekly food collection service is separated from the chargeable green waste service. Officers have sought advice on this, which is that the scope of the procurement did not include a collection arrangement for food waste to go into the residual bin. Therefore, it would be a material change to our requirements to allow the bidders to price for garden waste without the weekly food waste collection. It would be a high risk to now vary the scope of the procurement documents to allow for a different collection arrangement for garden waste. Our discussions must therefore focus on whether introducing a chargeable green waste service alongside weekly food collection service is an option we wish to recommend to Council or not. Members are also asked to note that the new contract will also include commercial trade waste recycling service. As with the current trade waste service, the Council will not subsidise this service.
Thank you very much, Councillor McAndrew. Can I please now pass to Councillor Needham?
Thank you. Members, we're now looking at agenda item number 6, which is the shared service for waste and street cleansing and the appointment of contractors. And I'd like to hand over to Councillor Reeves.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First of all, can I just echo my colleagues upfront opening remarks with regard to setting up the contract, and can I also thank officers from both councils for the enormous amount of work covered over the past several years to get where we are today. With that, I would hand over to the North House District Council officers, please. Thank you.
So, in front of members today, you have, you're looking at the award contract for Lot 1, in accordance to being placed economically an advantageous tender. I draw members' attention to 3.2 of the report, that it's imperative that we try and ensure that from a mobilisation point of view, Lot 1 isn't, that there is an impact between Lot 1 and Lot 2. So that's one of the key factors. In terms of powers 7.3 to 7.8, just draw members to some of the key points are there, that procurement documents were jointly produced, the bidders were invited to tender on the 30th of May, and the closing date was on the 9th of August. There is an intermediate inter-authority room between the authorities and we're going to be by IAA, so there's a contractual arrangement between the two authorities. The main depot for the contract for both Watson 1 and 2 is looked at using Ludlow Depot. The contract consists, as we discussed before, about Lot 1 and Lot 2, and that's been previously mentioned in previous reports, and the contract is for 7 years. In terms of 7-8, main drivers for this, both authorities, was to make financial savings, whilst not adversely impacting on the performance of the service. And also I draw attention to members for 8.2, which demonstrates and shows the quality quality price score, which demonstrates that contractor B is the one that's offered the most economically advantageous tender at 90.3%. And I'd like to leave it there for members to consider any discussions on whether they're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. Members, please remember that we will not be taking a decision on agenda item 6 at the moment, but this is your opportunity to ask any questions or make comments if you wish before we move on to agenda item 7. Councillor Cunningham.
Thank you, Chair. I presume that the contract does have provision for changes during the term. But would I be right in assuming that significant changes are going to come with a significant cost? Or to put it another way, do we really have the option to not make the decisions tonight?
There's always an option for change, and obviously it depends on cost, but clearly when a contractor mobilises, they purchase all the vehicles and all of the resource, all the staffing that's required to meet that requirement, so that specification and that contract. The change of contract mid-term will have an impact on those resources. And once they've procured and purchased those for the lifetime of the contract, then the financial benefits will be substantially less.
Councillor Hunter, did I see you?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, quite simply, it was mentioned earlier by Councillor Hill about the misinformation on social media. One of the things that's been on there is about the quality factor, this 30.3, that the council has picked the lowest possible quality in their bidding. Could you explain to us the fact that what this 2.8 difference makes? Thank you.
In terms of the quality evaluation, both authorities independently assess the quality of the bids against method statements that are provided by each contractor. There's a substantial amount of work that was undertaken. Each was independently scored, and then that was moderated by an independent set of consultants that looked at that. In terms of the process, each contractor for each method statement had to pass the minimum quality threshold, which every method statement was knocked out of 5, and they had to take a minimum score of 3. So that would be 60% for each particular element of that. Anybody that failed to do that failed to meet the criteria of the contract, that would not pass. Therefore, all contractors that have passed that will see, and we're talking about then, about that additionality for performance. They all meet the requirements of the contract, it's about what additional better quality service they're providing. And as you will see, the differences in the percentages are very small.
Thank you.
If there are no more questions then, yes, Councillor Weeks.
Thank you, Chairman. Lot 2 is delayed because the bids were non-compliant. Could you just tell us where we are at the moment? I think the re-bidding should probably be with us by now. And how long is the evaluation going to take?
I'd like to pass on to Gavin Ramatol, who's our contract solicitor, and that's a great question for you.
The tenders for Lot 2 are due in on the 20th of October, and the evaluation should take 2 weeks. And after the evaluation, we will know what the outcome is for Lot 2, and hopefully we'll have a successful bidder that we can make a decision on.
Councillor Leonard.
Thank you, Chairman. It was mentioned in the presentation about the when their contracts would be awarded. I know this is stage one, we can award it straight away, it's independent of the Lot 2 contract. However, it does say that unlikely the contractor will be able to mobilise it fully until the results of the Lot 2 are known. I'm assuming that that's so they can get the correct vehicles and everything in place. Are there any cost implications about the contract?
In terms of Lot 1, clearly in terms of the decision relating to charging the green light, that's going to have the biggest impact on vehicles, without doubt. And knowing that certainty of that charge of green waste is the one that would prevent the contractors putting in for the developer or the purchase of vehicles. In terms of Lot 2, when you're talking about glass or paper, you use split-bodied vehicles, and the split-bodied vehicles can either collect the paper or the glass separately. It should not have any adverse impact about the purchase of vehicles. However, moving on with the contract to fully develop, obviously, the Lot 1 contractor will need to know what the Lot 2 contractor is so that they can arrange the final details of mobilisation.
You might have a supplementary.
Yeah, the question was, would that impact on the contract? Is the contract value of Lot 1 fixed, or could there be any financial implications or changes following the Lot 2 decisions?
Chloe Hipwood, Service Manager for North Hearts. There is always a risk if we don't mobilise the contract swiftly enough that the contractor will incur additional costs through the hire of vehicles if they can't get vehicles delivered on time from the arrangements they have with their suppliers. So there is always going to be a risk that if we delay too much and that negatively impacts on the contractor, that it will cost the contractor.
Right,
Sorry, just... we talk about the possibility that there could be an increase in fly tipping, although that hasn't been seen a great deal of in other authorities. I've had a number of concerns put to me about the possibility that people will burn more green waste than they do now. And there is a concern about nuisance caused by bonfires. Now, as I understand it, it's not an offence to light a bonfire, it could be an offence to cause a nuisance with that bonfire. And how much have we taken into account the possible increase in costs of enforcement in whatever way with the introduction of green waste charges?
We've taken a pragmatic approach towards enforcement, in the fact that in terms of North Arts in particular, we're in a situation where we try to get the hearts and minds of our residents. Enforcement is not a cheap option to implement, and if we, you know, it's better to avoid that. And in terms of being able to collect the evidence to enforce, it would be difficult. That's notwithstanding, if we did have issues and problems, that we'd have to address those and we'd have to look at what mechanisms we'd have to put in place. But what I'm trying to say is we want to take a pragmatic approach towards the way we manage that, not necessarily saying we've got a problem now and we've got to kind of set up a system and process in place to do it.
Right, members, if there are no more questions on agenda item 6, we are going to move to agenda item 7. And members, you will remember that agenda item 5A, which is the report to us from overview and scrutiny, I did say that we would take this immediately before agenda item 7. So, Councillor, Mrs. Henry, please, over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The North Arts District Council Overview and Scrutiny Committee met recently to scrutinise the reports that are in front of you tonight. We discussed many elements of the reports, but only recommendation 2.3 generated a recommendation from Overview and Scrutiny. What we were most concerned about was that the Council had asked people whether they wanted to pay and then appeared to take no notice of their response. Now, we understand that the Council has a duty to consult but doesn't have a duty to follow the response, but we felt that the confidence in the Council was currently low and that going ahead with changes would reduce that confidence further. So with that, we have two recommendations to Cabinet tonight. The first one is that Cabinet be requested to give due weight to the feedback from the public consultation, and that if minded to charge for the collection of garden waste, every effort is made to communicate to the public the reasons for doing so.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Henry. Members, before we actually move on to agenda item 7, do any of you wish to ask Councillor Henry any questions? Thank you. In that case, then, on to agenda item 7. And Councillor Weeks, over to you, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Without further ado, could I hand over to the Hertfordshire officers?
I think the key elements for this report is for members to refer to 3.2 is for recommendations. The delegation decision relationship, separate paper or separate glass to enable decisions as quickly as possible. I think that that's quite key to ensure that we have no delays in terms of D.2. The contract documentation and signing cannot be completed until all options are determined and the preferred contractor will not commit to ordering assets such as vehicles or secure additional depot sites required to deliver this contract until the council formally commits by signing the contract. Any delays could have a significant impact on the successful mobilisation of the contract. So I think they're the key reasons for some of the decisions. In terms of consultation, 5, we say there, we circulate the questionnaire and we had 8,016 responses. In terms of 7.8, we talk about the process with the contract. We agree the point of the contract on the basis of the core contract, which is subject to an early report at the same meeting. But now we're looking at, in this report, the dependent and independent options. So, in terms of those relevant options, it's about the dependent options, which was in section 8.1, which was looking at separating paper, glass and fully coated aluminium. And we've already talked about the feedback that we received from residents associated with that. I would like to look at the table in 8.5, which demonstrates the reduction in paper recycling over recent years. In terms of recommendations, Cabinet are therefore asked in 8.8 to agree principle to the changing the way materials are collected from separated paper to separated glass if this provides material financial savings. And the authority is delegated to the Chief Executive in consultation with executive members for waste management, recycling and environment to determine the collection options once the financial impact is known and following consultation with the East Arts Council. In terms of curbside textile collections, which is shown in 8.9 to 8.12, in 8.12, the Cabinet is asked to agree to the continuation of the textile collection service and the residents making use of the service and should provide their own bag. This is a service that's already currently provided and that's no cost really to the authority to continue to provide that service. In terms of curbside battery collections, it's something that members have previously considered and requested. We put it in terms of the response. And because there's, again, no real cost to the service, Cabinet in 8.16 is asked to agree the commencement of the battery collection service and that residents making use of the service should provide providing their own bags. In terms of curbside small wee, again, that was a service that was offered by the contractors. But bearing in mind the amount of materials and the problems associated with collections, and we don't want an awful lot of materials on the curbside, what we're suggesting there is that Cabinet has asked to note that small wee collection options was available, and that it would be kept under review as to whether it can or should be adopted in at a later date. So it's not as though we can't do it at some point, but at this moment in time, I think officers would advise we would do that at this moment in time. 8.821 and goes on for the next few pages. It talks more about garden waste, it talks about the charging mechanism, it talks about the feedback from residents. There's tables there that shows total number of incidents in the nearest authorities in terms of fly tipping. 8.32 is a table there that shows a work undertaken by Broxbourne Council in 2016, where looking at the English 201 district councils, the metropolitan districts, and the London boroughs, of the respondents, of the 288 respondents, 38% said that they were charging green waste, but 54% said they were, and unknown, not a response back to 8%. So I think that's quite interesting to show that the majority of councils are now charging for green waste. In terms of 8.35, Cabinet has to agree the introduction of garden waste charging and consider the level of charging first year. If this is agreed, the Cabinet are asked to recommend to Council that funding is at the capital programme, but there is an addendum to that, which I'd like to refer to as well in your pack. So in terms of agenda item 7, I believe, the addendum, if the authorities agree, the Cabinet are asked to recommend to Council £126,000 is added to the capital programme for the purchase of food caddies that will allow the weekly collection of food waste. This may require an adjustment to the capital programme unless the alternative sources of funding for food caddies are identified. I believe that those are the key elements of the report.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. Members, questions or comments, please, on agenda item 7, Councillor Shakespeare Smith.
Thank you, Chairman. Could you explain on 8.21 the rationale for North House District Council not collecting the fee for charging for garden waste?
Thank you.
Sorry, can you just repeat the question?
Page 15,
yeah.
8.21, yeah. Final sentence. For North Isles, income will be collected by the contractor on behalf of the council and reconciled on a monthly basis. Yeah. Can you explain the reasons for that?
That was required within the contract. North Isles deliberated and considered the way that we would operate in terms of managing the contract, and that was the preferred option on the way forward for North Isles in terms of the contractor collecting the income on North Isles' basis. And we have established the costs of managing that through the contractor.
Yes, Councillor Leavitt.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a query on recommendation 2.3 on page 9. Doesn't it appear to be the same as contained in the body of text on paragraph 8.35 on page 18? Because the bit on page 18 asks to consider the level of charging the first year. However, we have no recommendation to set that charge anywhere in the recommendations before Cabinet. Does that require amendment to 2.3 as well?
What Councillor Leavitt might be alluding to is, are you expecting the members to debate and arrive at a figure?
Correct.
Thank you.
That's correct. Thank you, Chair.
Anything else, Councillor Leavitt?
No, that's fine.
Councillor Cumming and then Councillor Hunter.
Thank you, Chair. Four questions. Do you want to take them one at a time or together?
Probably one at a time, please.
Okay. There is some of this, there's a fairly heavy overlap between the two papers in front of us, so I should have asked it previously, I apologise. But there is reference to the Lot 2 tender being returned. Can you confirm that everybody who expressed an interest in tendering was actually given the option to retender, and not just those who had submitted an invalid tender?
I'll ask our contract solicitor to respond to that.
All bidders that expressed an interest in Lot 2 were given the opportunity to submit either a fresh tender or a first tender in the extension period for the tender period.
Yes. Okay. I attended the North Park Scrutiny Committee meeting on Monday last week, and one of the comments which was made there related to the possibility of, because we were dealing with two separate tenders, the tenderer for Lot 1 may have quoted an artificially low cost, intending to recoup some of their costs by loading option 2, or lot 2. Can you confirm whether this was something we were aware of, what action you may want to look at if we believe that's the case, or even do we at this point in time know whether the potentially successful tender of the Lot 1 is even tendering for Lot 2?
I'll ask Ian Cooper, head of finance, who led on the procurement, so I ask you to answer that question.
The two contracts, Lot 1 and 2, were evaluated and awarded separately. So if the contractor had done a reasonable price on one and a not reasonable price on the other, they wouldn't have won the other one. So it would be a very high-risk strategy to take and therefore not appropriate. I think I'll answer your question not to around the potential winner of the contract and what they may or may not bid for.
The subject of the impact on the household waste recycling centres has been touched on, and you said you had consulted with Park County Council the providers of the HWRCs. What we didn't say was what they told us.
Can I pass you on to Chloe Hitman to respond to that?
Yes, Hertfordshire County Council do provide us with some detail about the impacts of charging in other districts in Hertfordshire that have been had on the household waste recycling centres, and it's clear that there has been an increase in use at those household waste recycling centres. Obviously, it's difficult to judge the absolute increases we may or may not see in the Hertfordshire HWRCs, which are most located, most nearly located to either East Harts or North Harts. But you can expect an increase.
And the last question is probably not really a question, a comment almost. Because we currently collect paper in boxes, most of which, even if I handed to start off with, have disappeared over the course of time, we have had problems with wet paper being rejected because it's left out overnight. Presumably, if this now goes into the formal whatever colour bins they're going to be, this would be a problem that would disappear.
Yes, that's correct. We have had loads of paper rejected due to it being too wet. And of course, you don't have that problem if the paper is in the commingled bin and the glass is in the box. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I've got a number of questions as well, which I'm sure Mr. Vaughan can answer. Mr. Vaughan has got a problem. Mr. Watson as well. Right, okay. When you were comparing like for like, when you were looking at garden waste charging, were you taking into consideration that we're quite a rural area and obviously a lot of our residents may wish to burn or compost rather than use the facility of a chargeable collection? Two, on the actual vehicles themselves, could you just explain, these are three vehicles, one small vehicle collecting food waste, and I assume a similar setup to what we've got at the moment with one collecting just green waste and one collecting dry recyclables. And that leads me to the other part of the question, is that vehicle that's collecting green waste not in operation for half of the year? Is it going to reflect as far as costs are concerned?
If I can pass Chloe, on to Chloe, which is trying to deal with those two elements, and I'll come back if there's any area of clarification.
In terms of when we were looking at other councils who charge for garden waste, we sent out a questionnaire to via the Hearts Waste Partnership to a number of councils in the country, and they all gave us their responses. In terms of the information held within the report, this relates to what's considered a nearest neighbour council, which means they've got similar demographics to North Hearts, so essentially yes, the rurality has been taken into consideration. In terms of the operations of the collection contractor, that has been probably left up to them to demonstrate to us that they are operating a model that they consider to be most suitable. I don't believe we've given details at this stage of how those operations are going to take place, partly because they identify bins.
Right.
Yes, one more
council member. Thank you, yes. Just talking about social media again, why it occurs to me, one of the assumptions in there is that the council hasn't in all elements gone out to three different individuals. Can you just confirm that we have?
I don't think you made that quite clear, Councillor. A few puzzled faces up there.
Right, okay, I'll try again, Chairman. It's implying that part of this contract we only went to one individual for a price. Could you confirm that's not the case, that as always we've gone out for more than one price as far as materials, etc.
Tender.
Tender.
Can I ask you to respond to that? We went through to tender.
Yes, it was a full tender exercise. went out to the whole market as an invitation to bid. Some were shortlisted and some provided bids that got through the whole process. But yes, we got multiple prices.
Thank you.
Members, if you have no more questions on agenda item 7, I would now like to hand back to East Hart.
Thank you. Questions relating to specific East Hart matters will be taken later in the meeting after we are in separate session. However, if there are any general questions from East Hart members regarding this presentation, now is the time to ask. No? Okay, if I can pass that please to Councillor Needham.
Well, members, questions also relating to specific North Hearts matters will also be taken later, even though I've just given you all the opportunity to do it now. But I'm assuming you have no general questions, or else you have just taken the recent opportunity.
Thank you. I would remind East Hearts members that no decisions have been taken in respect of this item on the agenda.
Members, I would also remind those North Hearts members that no decisions have been taken in respect of either agenda item 6 or agenda item 7.
Thank you. We now go to an item which is the exclusion of press and public. So I would ask to consider passing the following resolution, that under section 100A of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the meeting on the grounds that the following reports involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A of the said Act. However, obviously all our invited guests from North Hearts are allowed to remain in the room, and I would ask any members of the public to please leave.
Members, North Hearts, to consider now the passing of the following resolution, that under section 100A of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the meeting on the grounds that the following reports will involve likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A of the said Act. However, our invited guests from East Hart District Council will be allowed to remain in the room. Members, are you in favour of the resolution? Thank you.
Can I just get that confirmed, please, from East Hart's members?
Agreed.
Thank you. We will now ask that the webcast be turned off. Thank you.